Welcome back to Even More News, the first and only news podcast. My name, you guys, it's Katie Stoll.
Hi, Katie Stoll. Hey. I'm Cody Johnston.
Cody Johnston.
You guys.
It's just the two of us.
Wowee.
We can make it if we try.
Yeah. Just the two of us.
There we go. Mm-hmm. You and I.
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
Go on.
Happy National Compliment Day.
Oh.
It's also National Opposite Day. Oh. So I think you can have a lot of fun marrying those two.
Yeah, did they do that on purpose? That's so mean.
You're a bag of shit.
You're insult. Insult to you.
Thank you so much. Mm. That is so nice. Those really are a fun combination. It's actually a lot of holidays, but those are the two I chose.
Oh, sure. But speaking of self-esteem or holiday, I don't know, whatever we were just talking about, thanks to BetterHelp for supporting Even More News. For 10% off your first month, go to betterhelp.com/more news.
Great job, Cody.
Thank you so much. Oh no, are you
that was a
me?
Terrible Ooh, ad
wow.
read.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome. What do we got to plug this week? What's up for some more news?
Some more news is has an episode about the Pope, the cool
Damn
Pope.
Straight.
Real cool Pope.
Cool Pope.
And his cool things that he does.
The SJW mm-hmm. cuck.
Yeah,
that
cuck. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also, on Worst Year Ever, our co-host Robert Evans went to that Virginia gun rally. Mm-hmm. And we are also going to be releasing a smaller episode on Friday of us talking to him about that experience. We all really wanted to go, but he's the only one that got permission.
Yeah.
Well, they said only one person could go of the three. And obviously that one person would be Robert.
I mean, the guy who does that regularly.
The guy who does that regularly and yeah. who brought us the idea.
Right.
So obviously that was the right choice. But you guys should definitely check that out. It's very good to be back here, Cody. I missed you guys last week. It's been
at least 7 days.
It's been over 7 days.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen you in that meantime.
Sure.
Thanks for holding down the fort last week without me as I finished up jury duty. Well, yes, I will talk a little bit about jury duty. How was your experience, Katie? Frustrating is my answer.
Speak on that.
I shall speak on that. I think it's very cool. Jury duty in theory.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea of participating in our government, being a juror, of bringing my perspective to a situation. Did not like my time being used for this case that I was on, mm-hmm. which was essentially big client, a law firm. They're not a big law firm, but they're like fancy, expensive lawyers suing a former client mm-hmm. for about $200,000. And it was 7 days of us hearing these cases, and it was incredibly, it was boring. It also felt like a big waste of everybody's time, of their time as well. I mean, and resources, all of the resources being swept up into this dispute over $200,000. And neither party was likable. Mm-hmm. Both sides, I felt like, just go home, guys. Just go home. But ultimately, the way it goes, you have to rule in favor of somebody. And, mm-hmm. and so we did that, and it's over. I do want to say some weird things about it.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, on the second day when we were actually starting to present evidence, they're saying, okay, here are these portfolio of addresses, and we're going to give you the address of one of them because you have to keep it in mind because it's going to be at the crux of this whole issue. And they gave the address, and I kid you not, I lived there. I lived there like 10 years ago. So the defendant was my old landlord.
Mm.
And that still didn't get me released. It didn't get me released, and I don't know why.
Well, you didn't say, I hate landlords, and specifically my landlord.
I thought that the fact that he was my landlord should have been enough.
Put some sauce on it.
I asked for so much advice going into this about how to not get picked, and I didn't take any of it. I didn't, because at the end of the day, I get up in front of a room of people, and they're asking me questions, and I can't help but perform a little.
Yeah.
I'm like, bing, here come my dimples. And inside, I'm beating myself up like, stop it, Katie, stop it. And so I know I should have said.
Of all the scenarios where people cannot like you, that's the one.
That's the one. Like, but it's like this little people pleaser child in me comes mm-hmm. out and just can't resist trying to get a laugh out
just
of everybody.
Just say you hate lawyers and cops and think prisons shouldn't exist.
Duly noted. Yeah, so that didn't get me dismissed, and it should have. Also, as a lot of you know, I was tweeting selfies throughout the week, outfit of my outfits and stuff. And I made a joke, tomorrow I'm wearing sweatpants. I would never. I don't wear sweatpants out to court. But then after the trial ended and we gave the verdict, and I'm leaving, and one of the lawyers comes running out of the courtroom and he says to me, "You didn't wear sweatpants today."
Ew.
And I died inside a little.
Oh my God.
I was all of a sudden, am I in trouble? What happened? Yeah. Also, oh God, you've been looking at my Twitter. But also it makes sense, I suppose. They're going to make sure people aren't tweeting about the who are the people that are on the jury?
Sure,
don't be sharing information.
Yeah. Still, you didn't mean to make that comment. Even if he's checking, doesn't need to say anything.
I was totally blindsided. Anyway, I guess that's enough of a jury duty update. I've done my civic duty.
You did it.
And I would do it again. I just would like to be on a trial that I felt was making some sort of a difference in the world.
Sure.
But,
yeah, it seemed like a pretty clear cut, like, well, look at the contract and there it is. And then
yeah, and so
like
much.
Like you didn't need to be involved.
Also, the guy next to me burped a lot.
Oh, okay.
I tweeted about this as well.
Yeah, I saw that.
Like little quiet gross burps. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to shame anybody that also suffers that affliction. I was delighted by it, truly.
Sure.
But it was also funny. It was, and I can't deny that it was, but please do not feel shame if you also quietly but grossly
burp.
People
have gas issues.
It is what it is. Mm-hmm. My tummy rumbles a lot.
There you go.
Different form of gas.
Someone's tweeting about that right now, I'm sure.
I'm sure they are. All right. We've delayed this long enough.
Are you sure? You don't want to talk about this more?
No,
we can.
I'm dying,
okay.
Dying to talk about the news.
Oh, good.
Especially this first topic.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Let's talk about Warren and Bernie.
Sanders.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
I know this might feel like old news at this point, but a lot of you have reached out to me asking for us to discuss this. Again, I was at jury duty last week, so I couldn't do it last week. But that means that now is the time. Now we're doing it. Also, I just think it's an important conversation to have in general, because this dynamic is obviously similar or as echoes of what happened in 2016. And it really tore us all apart.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to have this conversation.
Yeah. And I think I think that one of the reasons perhaps people listen to this podcast is because of our differences here with this issue specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And the sort of like far left sort of approach I have in viewpoint versus slightly less, and that back and forth.
Yeah. And I think that, yeah, we each represent a portion of this section of the left.
Yeah, and we're also very good friends. So
we're good friends. And it was hard on us in 2016. Yeah. It was hard.
2016 was a bad year.
There was one moment where I was like, am I going to have my friends after this election still?
Yeah, it got real bad.
And I did. But I don't want us to go back to that. So let's talk about it. All right, a refresher in case you've already forgotten. Early last week, or I don't know, the week before, what even is time?
9 years ago.
CNN reported that last year Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders had some sort of a meeting to discuss policies and got into a dispute as to whether or not a woman could win the presidency. Bernie denied the story, saying that it was just a discussion about how Trump would manipulate any weakness. And Warren simply responded with something along the lines of, "We disagreed on whether or not a woman could win the presidency." And then the internet exploded with ugliness, disparaging tweets against Warren, lots of images of snakes, which hopefully I do not have to explain to you how sexist that is. The idea of a woman being a snake and evil, Adam and Eve stuff, all of that.
Oh. Okay.
You disagree?
I see what you're saying. I find it sometimes frustrating and difficult to treat politicians like politicians without something being framed as inherently sexist. Like if we were to call Pete a snake for something like that, that wouldn't be sexist.
No, but we didn't. We called Elizabeth Warren a snake, and it's a loaded symbol.
Okay.
I mean, and it's along, I mean, the idea of a liar, of all of this stuff. I mean, I hopefully you would think twice before tweeting an image of a snake and
I
a woman.
Didn't. I just commented on how many snake emojis were out in droves that night. But the Adam and Eve aspect of it seems very Jordan Peterson-y of like, this is what the symbol means, where like the snake wasn't the woman.
I know. I understand what you're saying, but you have an idea. There's like a trope of this lying, sneaky like woman, of this evil lady. And whereas maybe not everybody who shares that image, and I'm sure maybe some of you guys did, I don't think that everybody necessarily associates with as that, but some people do. And it certainly can be taken that way. The implication here is that she is lying, that she was lying about the exchange, that her team planted the story. And on that real quick, we've got different thoughts. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm just rambling here. The idea that she planted this story is pretty ridiculous to me, namely because her campaign has done such a good job of not playing into the sexism card, not playing that up, instead of just, you know, I've seen this past pieces talking about this passed around a lot. I'm sure you guys have as well. You know, she's done a smart job. She's built her narrative around all the potential things that women in power can do. And it's about hope and possibility, not about being trampled down by the establishment or by the patriarchy. And it is at odds with her whole thing. Also, it hasn't helped her. It wouldn't. You just understand the culture of what we're dealing with up against Bernie. You would never want this kind of a story and this kind of attention. Maybe there's somebody that did plant the story, maybe. But the fact that everybody immediately jumps to that is really alarming to me. And that, to me, inherently is sexist. Also, it's just very disappointing to me that the knee-jerk reaction is that she is lying and can't be trusted because of this. Do you know what I mean? But instead of, and like, immediately.
I understand. Again, this is a tough and frustrating conversation to have because, again, we're dealing with politicians. And when you have, and like, I'm not saying that this is like, if you have somebody who does, has like embellished stories in the past, this story that she's been telling behind the scenes could easily have been exaggerated and blown up to be this other thing that
it also just as easily, and what I personally think is true, be something in the middle. It could just as easily be she remembers the conversation one way and Bernie remembers it the other way. Also, Bernie can say exactly what it is that he said and it still be a conversation about how a woman can't win the presidency. And that might be his perspective. It doesn't make him sexist.
Well, that's, I mean, I think that's also, like, that's the most likely scenario. Aside from, like, I mean, she apparently, like, told this story, like, an off-the-record thing with a bunch of journalists last year. And it's, like, told the story. I do think it is more likely, most likely that, like, okay, he said this thing, she interpreted this way, he thought he was saying this, and then it became this other thing. And CNN, in their infinite wisdom, is playing it off as this other thing. And it would have been great if, because, I mean, Bernie explained, like, here's what I said, and we've even had that conversation about, like, yeah, Trump is going to do this and this and this. And it's going to be harder because historically it's harder.
Yeah,
not that a woman can't.
Yeah.
And again, like he said, like, I literally asked her to run in 2016 instead of me. And all the things that you can say of, like, it's ridiculous to think that he actually said and thinks this.
I don't think that he thinks it. I think that he might think a woman can't win in this climate. In this specific day. Because also that's 2016 isn't now. After seeing where we are right this minute. I don't think of that as a sexist comment. But he could easily, at this point in time, think that it would be very difficult for a woman to win the presidency. And honestly, I've said this to you the other day, judging by the immediate backlash to her, not him, online from people that are on our side, kind of makes me think that a woman can't. If this kind of sexism is just dormant and ready to jump out over a story of he said, she said, then what? Then what happens when we have her as our nominee?
Yeah. And I guess I also just still think that there's the way it's being framed is that he said, she said, but she didn't technically still even say that. Like, there's no on the record of her being like, Bernie said this to me. It's always in response to something.
We disagreed.
We disagreed. Or she says, like, I thought that it could be this. He disagreed. Like, it's always phrased like that. She's never actually said, like, Bernie told me to my face that a woman can't be the president.
Which I think makes it even more upsetting that everybody reacts like this. And I know that you think you would like to see her get up and say, put the whole thing to bed in some capacity and to have said something in a different way.
Either have her say, Bernie looked him in the eye and said that a woman couldn't become the president, or say what we've been saying. And what, I mean, I think Bernie should have clarified this too, of just like, this is what I said. This is probably how it was interpreted.
So what if she's upset about it? What if it's something that bothers her and is important to her? What if she doesn't, you know, feel morally that she needs to give him that leeway? That even the thing that he's saying, he said within the context of a larger conversation, very well might have amounted to that takeaway, and it might have pissed her off. And I think that she's been diplomatic about it while also not capitulating. And this also brings me, we got to talk about the debate, because that was so frustrating.
Yeah. Well, again, I mean, this is again, like, the media is the enemy here.
It really is.
And like, again, when you have like this framing, like, I think on the day CNN ran a headline like, the candidates debate on whether or not a woman can be president. No, they didn't.
No.
No one debated that.
Also, the hours leading up to the debate on CNN, half of the pre-show talking was like discussing this issue and what's going to happen when they're on stage at the same time. Get out of here with that. What a waste of everybody's time.
And it's, again, it's just like this, like, it's clearly this crafted smear to create this sort of tension when literally 2 weeks before that, Joe Biden said out loud in front of people on camera that Hillary had a problem with sexism in 2016. I won't have that problem. He said the same thing out loud, and nobody's talking about it. They're talking about this private conversation.
Absolutely.
That's the other thing. It's like a private conversation.
Yeah.
So like airing it out in this way, I think is really gross, and I wish it was not played out like this, because they are friends and you know, allies and so on. And the fact that this private conversation got out in such a way, I think is really gross. And I just don't like it.
Well, I want to talk a bit more about the debate, especially when moderator Abby Phillips asked Bernie. CNN reported yesterday, and Senator Warren confirmed in a statement that in 2018, you told her you did not believe that a woman could win the election. Why did you say that? Not even did you say that. Why did you say that? Bernie denied having said it. And then she asked Elizabeth Warren, Senator Warren, what did you think when Senator Sanders told you a woman could not win the election? That's bullshit.
Yes, it is.
That's an unfair framing of it. I think that they both handled it well. Personally, their answers.
Yeah,
you would like Warren to have said.
Well, that moment in particular really bothered me, because that's the kind of thing that's so obviously like, well, the media is warping this in a blatant. Like, the audience laughed when that happened. You can hear them laughing at this ridiculous line of questioning. And I wish it was the answer was framed, because like her response to that was going along with it.
She
accepted the question as being a valid question, and she said, well, I disagreed. And that also kind of, like, in her official statement before the debate, she didn't say, Sanders said this to me and I disagreed. She said, I said this and Sanders disagreed. So it's, and I mean,
I'm sure it was
that.
I'm sure it was all a part of the same conversation.
Sure, but like the framing of it is really, really gross and dishonest. On its face, and I wish that her response took that into account, as opposed to like playing along with it and be like, good question, CNN, I disagreed, and here's how women are powerful. Like,
I understand what you're saying. And I guess I disagree, because again, we're not taking into account what this has been like for her, or what her response to, like, we just don't know her side of the story. I think she seems pissed about it. I think that she seems like, she's, especially over the last couple of weeks with all of the blowback about it.
Yeah.
And which plays into that last beat on stage. Now, we have a little worst year ever text thread, and you guys were not happy and shared that clip of her not shaking Bernie Sanders' hand after the debate. And I had such a different reaction to that, because I know you're going to disagree with me. If it
completely?
Was a man, you are going to disagree with me completely. If it was a man who had refused to shake another man's hand on that stage, I don't think people would have been like, how dare she? How to be so upset by the lack of civility? Because I think we've seen that a lot. I'm not going to come up with the examples right now. You might say like, ooh, but it wouldn't be the same kind of like, that was so cold kind of a response. Especially, she's mad about it. She's mad at him. And now we know what she said. It was like, I believe you called me a liar on national TV.
Yeah, I guess I, I mean, yeah, I disagree.
Also, Bernie didn't shake her hand at the beginning.
I didn't catch that. But I do think that, so like, first of all, I do think it's if it were a man who'd refused, because the dynamic is very specific. Like, they are allies on stage for the most part. And yeah, they're competing for the same job and same nomination, but there is a bond there that I think exists more for them than other candidates up there. And so airing this personal grievance out in the air, like on the stage, and sort of playing into it, and then knowing like you're on stage, you're all mic'd, you're gonna like go up and sort of do this thing. I don't know. I just didn't care for that either.
I think that we interpret that as her being emotional, whereas if a man had done it, you'd be like, oh, he's pissed. I think that there'd be some sort of
the same thing, though, right? Like that's being like,
yeah, but there's just a different. Like, there just seems to me my perception of the way people reacted to it. It felt disproportionate about people mm-hmm. being really upset at her about this infraction, whereas I do not think that I would see that same level if it was a man. Maybe I'm completely wrong. Real quick, though. I don't know who I'm voting for. I don't.
Know,
I really don't.
I know.
And I tell you what's not helping. It's some of you use general universal you, some listeners, I'm sure, attacking me for not immediately abandoning my support of Warren because of this or because of anything else. You talking to me like I'm not worthy of respect because I respect her? Just makes me less likely to vote for Bernie. It's not true. I would still vote for Bernie. I can separate him from this.
Yeah, I don't.
But it is ugly and it is unnecessary. And you can express your perspective in a respectful way. And I'll tell you what, you're going to get a lot further with it.
I hear you. I will say that. Well, I will say that when I do express my disagreement on issues like this with calmly or like no emotion involved, the immediate reaction is disgusting, misogynist Bernie bro, no matter what I say. That narrative.
And I bet that's really frustrating.
It is very frustrating.
I think that the only way to change it is to keep trying to be better than that, because it exists and it is real and it's not something that people are making up.
But also, well, again, I just feel the need to push back on this just because everyone has vocal supporters. And everyone has, like, literally in 2012 or 2008, there were articles about the Obama boys.
I'm sure.
Getting in on Hillary and stuff. And it's like, that just is always
but
what happens.
But this is a real, I'm sure it is. This is a destructive force within his party. And I think it's a disservice to not acknowledge it, not within his party, within his followers, to not acknowledge it because it's not helping. So the only way to fix it is to, like, change the way we're talking with each other. I mean, even Bernie Sanders is putting out statements about that. We can't deny it. We shouldn't deny it. It exists. It's real. People feel attacked. I feel attacked a lot in my DMs and everything. And I'm not here for a pity party. I'm a big girl. It's fine. I'm online. I expect it.
Well, I just think it's online. But I don't think that you're going to let that affect how you vote.
No, but it is affecting how I feel about Bernie, the movement. And it is, it will not affect me how I vote. But I'm not everybody. And I have personally spoken to several people who are like, I honestly don't even want to vote for Bernie because it's so ugly. And I'm sick of it. It makes me pissed off. And they're like, I know that maybe that's irrational, but I think we all need to be aware of how this affects how we are communicating. That's my perspective. And I know that some of you guys disagree with me and I respect that. I just, there's a good way to have this conversation. There's a bad from my point of view. But I do think that it's must be very frustrating for people like you.
Well, yes, it's anytime any person. Well, again, also because I think like 60% of his support are women and he has like the most support from people of color of all the candidates. There's like this idea of like this Bernie bro that has been warped by a lot of figures in the media in order to frame it as this very unique problem. And I think that there's a reason that like in, let's say, the past week, polls have continually shown that he is gaining more and more support and beats Trump more than any other candidate.
Yeah.
Everything is continuing to point to him being the front runner. And I think that there's a reason that in response to that, a lot of outlets, the Daily Beast, like all these outlets are now running Bernie bro articles.
I understand.
Literally in like in during 2016, the Clinton campaign specifically would pitch to journalists like, you should write a Bernie bro article.
Yeah.
It's a I don't think it's I think it's being used as a smear.
Yeah, I get that.
And so I will have none of it.
I get that you feel that way. I get that it's, they certainly are latching onto it. I also feel it's a problem because I've been the brunt of it because people I care about are.
But you're not going to let it affect your vote for Bernie.
No, it's not going to let, it's not going to affect my vote,
got
but
her.
It's something I don't
We got
like.
Her, folks.
Putting it out. All right,
yeah,
we got
I just
him.
Think, yeah, and I just think in general, again, the Bernie bro narrative, it really erases everyone who's not a white man, which is the majority of his support. And I know that a lot of people who aren't me are frustrated with it for that reason as well.
My best advice is to not tweet snakes at women politicians who you're accusing of lying.
We tweet snakes at Joe Biden?
Maybe, as long as he's not secretly a woman.
Okay.
It really did disappoint me. The immediate reaction to something like this,
I hear you. I think it was disappointing for a lot of people for a lot of reasons. I think it was really emotional for a lot of people for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
And it's just a really great example of why this year is bad and has everything
Absolutely.
To do with 2016 as well.
All right. We got to move on. But real quick, we got to talk about Hillary Clinton for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why this is happening again.
We always
but
do.
But here we are. She weighed in. Of course, it doesn't help Hillary. It doesn't help the conversation at all.
Actually, I think it does help.
Does it?
Well, I don't think it helps the conversation. I think it helps Bernie Sanders.
It helps Bernie Sanders. It certainly doesn't help Warren, although we weren't specifically talking about Warren. But she basically gets out there and says that nobody likes Bernie.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody likes him.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Lying. She's talking.
She doesn't like him. Maybe her friends don't like him.
She's talking about her and her friends and people on her campaign and all like the little Clinton club. That's who she's talking about. Bernie Sanders is the most popular senator in the country. He's one of the most popular politicians on the planet. People love him if you're not like a Clinton diehard or one of her buddies. Like that is what she is saying.
It's wild.
It's wild that she has such little self-reflection to understand that she's actually not so likable, especially when she says stuff like that.
Make me regret my vote more. No, I don't regret my vote. I wanted to vote for the first woman president, and at the time, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I felt a strong candidate. I used my gut. I was wrong. She didn't win. Well, she did win, but but stop it. Just stop it. But before we stop it, speaking of Hillary Clinton, Tulsi Gabbard is now suing her for $50 million for defamation.
Damn.
From that time when, in another interview, she called Tulsi a Russian asset.
God.
Stop it, Hillary.
Just stop it. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Also, like, it's just like, why? It's funny that she thinks that she's helping in any other way than helping Bernie Sanders, because I don't know if she's aware, but the political climate in 2016 and now is pretty anti-establishment.
Yeah.
And maybe all these media figures and political figures who represent the establishment coming out and saying, actually, people hate the guy giving you health care, isn't a great look.
Maybe
it
not.
Actually helps him, especially when you juxtapose that with saying in regards to Harvey Weinstein, how could we have known?
Unbelievable.
How could we have known? It's wild. Thanks for popping in. You're helping.
Goodbye.
It's very funny.
We got to take a quick break and then we're going to talk about other stuff.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Speaking of the perpetual hell that is 2020 and the strain it puts on our relationships and mental health and other things that also might interfere with your happiness and goals, BetterHelp Online Counseling is there for you. Connect with a professional counselor in a safe and private and convenient online environment, free from the unsafe, public, toxic online environments in which we regularly spend our time. Anything you share is confidential, and if you're not happy with your counselor for any reason, you can request a new one at any time.
There are numerous ways to communicate with your counselor: text, chat, phone, video, and they cover a wide range of topics: stress, anxiety, grief, self-esteem, sexual identity, and more. Mental health is, we've talked about, important. Everyone can benefit from therapy. Many don't know how beneficial it can be. The hardest part, at least for me, has been to actually do it, sign up, go to someone, and talk. If that's hard for you, whether the reason is personal or financial, maybe BetterHelp can help. Get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/morenews. Fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor. Start communicating in under 24 hours. That's BetterHelp.com/morenews for 10% off your first month.
Little disclaimer, BetterHelp is not a crisis line.
There are crisis lines.
There are crisis lines.
BetterHelp is not one.
Not one. Find those if you are in crisis.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And we're back, as promised, for even more news. I hated the way I said that.
It was great.
Thank you.
You agree with me?
I agree with you.
Good.
Oh, good. We're here at the point in the podcast where we have to start talking about things related to this sham of a Senate impeachment trial. Oh, good.
Can't wait.
Can't wait. But before we get to that, though, let's talk about Lev Parnas. But before we do that, Cody, got any good Lev Parnas puns for us? Lev punses?
I love Parnas. Love penis?
Eh.
Lev penis.
All right. We are going to have to keep workshopping these. Lev penis, one of the associates of Rudy Giuliani, who was indicted some amount of time ago. Who cares? has broken his silence. And oh, baby, it was pretty juicy. Last week, he went on Rachel Maddow's show on MSNBC and really let it roll. This is from NBC. Lev Parnas, the indicted associate of President Donald Trump's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, unleashed a series of explosive allegations against top members of the administration during an interview, blah, 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 Rachel Maddow, among them that Trump knew exactly what Giuliani was doing in Ukraine. Quote, he was aware of all my movements. I wouldn't do anything without the consent of Rudy Giuliani or the president. To be noted, Trump has denied knowing Parnas. Although multiple photos show the president with one or both of those men. Trump has said it's possible. I have had a picture with them because I have a picture with everybody.
That's true. He has pictures
he
with everybody.
He has pictures with everybody. But he's got multiple pictures with these guys. Actually, just today, right before we recorded, or earlier today, I don't know, Trump called him a con man and a groupie. Quote, he's a con man. Let me answer that one first. I don't know him, other than he's sort of like a groupie. He shows up at fundraisers. I don't know anything about him. He doesn't know anything about him except that he's a con man.
Yeah,
a groupie.
Yeah,
I don't know
anything about him. The con man groupie that I know that
a
about.
A groupie of con men.
A murderer of con men.
He's he's a groupie of con men hanging around you.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, Donald Trump hates con men.
Hates them, but they're always around him.
Well, he hates himself, so.
Oh, that's sad. According to Parnas, Mike Pence and William Barr were in the loop as far as the Ukraine effort went. Quote, Pence, Barr, and John Bolton, Trump's national security advisor at the time, were all keyed in on what was going on. I'm going to use a famous quote by Mr. Sondland. Everybody was in the loop. Sondland, of course, being Gordon Sondland, the U.S. ambassador to the European Union, who said that everybody was in the loop in last year's inquiry into potentially impeaching Trump. Jesus, this is going on for so long.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Should have started on day one. The emoluments clause. At the hotel that he owns, where all these con men hang out and take notes on paper about their little crimes they're going to do.
Too bad that's not in these impeachment proceedings.
Yeah.
He also talked about the fact that Hurricane Dorian was merely an excuse for Trump to cancel his Poland visit. So he didn't cancel his visit because of the hurricane. It, quote, it was because he was angry that Zelensky didn't make any attempt or effort to make any announcement before he was going to meet him. He also said that the Ukraine situation was never about corruption.
It was shocking. I thought Donald Trump cared about corruption.
No, that's
why he's going after one of the front runner's sons.
No, it wasn't about corruption. It was all about the Bidens. That's a quote. Never about corruption. Also, he said that it wasn't just military aid being withheld. Quote, Mayor Giuliani, Rudy, told me after, you know, meeting with the president at the White House, he called me. The message was it wasn't just military aid. It was all aid. Basically, their relationships would be sour, that he would stop giving them any kind of aid unless several demands were met. Most important among them, the announcement of the Biden investigation. Very cool.
Very cool.
He also addressed the information that recently came out that Marie Yovanovitch had been surveilled by Robert Hyde, a Republican congressional candidate. What?
Okay.
So if you guys saw that story last week, that's a whole thing that's going on. Apparently they've been surveilling him, her. Apparently they were surveilling her or trying to surveil her. And Parnas said that as far as he knew, it never actually happened. But there's a whole bunch of documents saying otherwise. I don't really feel like going into all the nitty gritty. Long and short of it is that even Ukraine is opening up their own investigation into that whole situation. Also, apparently he's been linked to Devin Nunes.
What?
A lot of back and forth with Nunes's aide, Patrick Harvey.
What?
Yeah. Tons of text messages.
All these guys
about
are
him.
Talking to each other about stuff.
Also about Yovanovitch.
Aww.
It's all pretty nuts.
Wow.
Anyway, the White House has said that it will block any attempts to get Parnas to testify at the impeachment trial. Cool.
Oh, no.
Hey, that brings us to impeachment. Hey.
Hey, fun. The great thing that's going on every day.
I'm tired of talking. I want you to talk.
I'm tired of talking, too, but I will talk. So
talk to us about the rules and what's going on with this
impeachment.
Well,
they're trying to figure out the rules, and this is like... we're trying to keep it up to date as much as we can, but we don't, we record this and then,
yeah, things are changing. Change.
But the basics, I would say, is that Republican Party is trying really hard to not subpoena any more witnesses and to sort of limit the evidence available and basically turn this into a sham trial, which it already is. The rules, okay, it's an ongoing debate. But I don't think we need to worry. Mitch, very good, McConnell, that's what they call him, has said, quote, what was good enough for President Clinton in an impeachment trial should have been good enough for President Trump. So they're basically saying that we're going to run this like the Clinton trial, which isn't really true. Hence them trying to like speed this up and not subpoena anybody or any other documents. But the rules. So each side has 24 hours to make their case. Which is like 24 hours.
Yeah, yeah. It's not consecutive 24 hours.
Yeah, like you go in and you have 24 hours to do it. It's like you have the amount of time is 24 hours, like the Clinton trial. Except McConnell rules gave a 2-day limit for that, which didn't exist for Clinton because that's
insane.
Insane. So after everyone complained, Mitch adjusted the rules by hand. You can see like scribbles and crossing out and handwriting on it. And now everyone has to make their case in 24 hours over 3 days, which is
and
also
so
not.
If we're not presenting witnesses and or evidence, is it just opening and closing
it's
statements?
Statements, I think, and about like what the inquiry came up with, which, again, is not everything. And it would be nice to subpoena more people and these documents that would have the actual information that is being looked for.
But they don't plan on paying attention to any of it anyway. So I mean, why waste our time?
Exactly. Why waste our time? But don't worry. According to the New York Times, quote, when the Clinton trial opened, the Senate admitted into evidence, printed and shared with senators all records generated by the House impeachment inquiry into Mr. Clinton. Not so this time. The House's evidence from the Trump impeachment inquiry would still be printed and shared with senators. It would only be formally considered by the Senate as part of its official record if a majority of senators voted to do so. That vote could only take place after the Senate decided whether to call witnesses and seek additional documents. That is, as the trial moves toward conclusion. So they're going to vote to call witnesses and look at evidence as they go.
Yeah, but we don't have the votes to call those witnesses.
Like all good trials. Yeah, we don't.
So
don't worry.
But, you know, I saw Chuck Schumer out there. Don't worry. We're going to do our best.
Yeah.
That worries me.
Yeah. I mean, anytime Chuck Schumer takes the lead on anything, I'm a little worried. But he's right. Don't worry. Quote, the Senate rejected by a 53-47 party line vote the Democrats' First Amendment to subpoena documents and other records from the White House related to the Ukraine probe. The White House stonewalled requests for those records by House investigators during inquiry. But, Katie.
Yes.
Don't worry. Okay. On a 53-47 vote, the Senate on Tuesday rejected Schumer's Second Amendment. The amendment would have allowed the Senate to obtain State Department documents and records that the Trump administration refused to provide during the House impeachment probe of Trump and his dealing with Ukraine.
Oh, okay then.
So I think we all can just generally agree, don't worry. They've got it handled.
They've got this.
It's very frustrating to see how this is framed when like you have these people like, well, there are documents and there are witnesses that will give us more information. This is the actual trial. We want to have the actual trial now, because they've been talking for so long about how, like, well, you, I don't get to call witnesses or defend myself during the impeachment trial.
And now I don't want to call witnesses or defend myself in the impeachment trial. Also, did you see earlier today, he just like blurted out that the White House is withholding evidence?
What?
Of course he did. I mean, he didn't mean to, but yeah, he's referencing, and the people are asking about the trial, and he referenced documents that they refuse to turn over, basically saying, honestly, we have all the material. They don't even have the material. And you're like,
oh my God, that is frustrating.
Isn't it? Isn't it just?
Yeah, it is just. That's funny and terrible. What a blatant thing to say when you're not a con man at all.
Just surrounded by groupies.
Just surrounded by con man groupies for some reason. It's very frustrating to be presented with the timeline of events leading up to this, and then have, I think, like, Ted Cruz went up yesterday and he's like, you know, there's an old saying, you know, if you have the facts, you bang on the facts. If you have what it was. Basically, he's saying, like, all the Democrats are doing is banging on the table, which is interesting because he's incapable of saying what they were banging on the table to get. This is something that is so frustrating to watch when people like him say these things to a group of reporters, mm-hmm. and nobody is like, take it one step further, Ted. Finish your sentence. Banging on the table to get what? They don't actually deal with the fact mm-hmm. that they're withholding evidence. They're just like, oh, they couldn't get it for the impeachment trial. Now they want to do it here? That's not how it works. But like, why are you stopping them from subpoenaing these people?
Yeah.
You cannot give a reason. You have to give these like weird like language flourishes and like these sound bites that make it seem like this other thing, when really you're just stopping evidence, which apparently... have all the material. They don't have the material. Like, he's literally saying this.
And we're just going to say this and nobody's going to care, because...
Yeah, that's sort of like my frustration now, too, is that like this is going on and I check in and other things are going on and
it's, we know how it's going to come out.
Right. And like, I mean, the first half of this podcast, I think, shows like we're largely focused on the primary right now. When you have these things going on and you have these just these craven liars, it's like, what do you do? I don't know. I guess I'll tweet some the con man in chief is impeached. Like all the like resistance tweets. Like, I don't know. What? Who cares? Like,
yeah, this is
what's
helping.
It gonna do?
It's gonna raise your heart rate.
Yeah, that's fine.
In an unhealthy way.
I love that.
Also, big impeachment related news before we move on. Ken Starr, Alan Dershowitz are joining Trump's defense team. Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Awesome.
Starr's career highlights include prosecuting the Clinton impeachment and being pushed out as a university president because of his handling of sexual misconduct by the football team. And then Dershowitz, of course, is famous for defending such innocent clients as O.J. Simpson and Jeffrey Epstein.
He loves defending Jeffrey
Epstein. Actually, Starr also represented Epstein, too. Cool.
Oh, his lawyer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No. They all love Jeffrey Epstein.
Wild.
Alan Dershowitz loves defending sex criminals for their sex crimes.
Really gets off on that. All right.
It's wild to have these people. It's just like that aspect of the Trump era. All these weirdos from the past coming back.
Yeah.
And just getting in the group and getting in on the team. Like, we got the Ken Starr. You got the Dershowitz. Oliver North came back to run the NRA. He's just got a lot of these people, like Bolton, like all these people.
Yeah.
And just like, what are the shameful weirdos from the past who have defended other shameful weirdos? Let's get them in on it. And it's just so obvious.
They're
seeing,
like, ooh,
like,
it's
the
my
team.
Time to shine.
Right. Like, we're getting the team back together. All these fucking pieces of shit. It's great. I love it.
All right. Real quick. Couple news dump items.
Ooh, the news dump.
God. Coronavirus. Cool. Chinese officials on Wednesday nearly doubled the death toll from its newly identified strain of coronavirus. Coronavirus? We'll learn. saying the outbreak has killed 17 people. 470 cases have been confirmed in China. And there are concerns that the virus will spread during Lunar New Year celebrations since people are going to be traveling. In fact, it's already spread to other places with one confirmed American case in Washington. Cool. Reince Priebus.
You really just breeze past that. News dump. Virus time. All right, moving on.
I don't want to be
Mr. Priebus.
Fearmonger. Well, speaking of viruses, Reince Priebus,
is that better?
Joined CBS News as a political analyst and immediately lied by saying, looking forward to a fun year together on today's show.
Classic.
Ba-dum-ching. And finally.
I love, he's another example. He's part of the crew.
He is part of the crew.
Bring him back. Josh Duffy or whatever, Duffy
yeah.
from the real world, that old like congressman who's oh, I'm bad at this, so I'm not going to do it anymore. Now he's just on CNN as like a political analyst. Every once in a while.
Nothing makes sense.
Every time you got Cuomo on there interviewing this fucking liar. And he's just like saying this nonsense. And every single time he's on, Cuomo's like, that's not true. That's just not true. And they keep having him on. A couple of years ago, he was like, Gabby Giffords is dead and a Marxist shot her. Neither of those things are true. She's alive and he wasn't shot by him. It's so frustrating. Anyway. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the part of the episode that is replacing the other part of the episode that didn't record, which we didn't find out until later. So hi from later. We talked about Hank Azaria for about 20 seconds, and then we wrapped it all up with about 40 seconds of some charming back and forth that culminated in us saying at the same time that we love you very much. She's not here.